We are continuing our series on the gospel. Glory be to God. And we just open up with a reminder about what the gospel is. The gospel is the proclamation, the announcement, the good news of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is the proclamation, the announcement, and the good news concerning the person of Jesus Christ and his work here on earth on our behalf. Glory be to God. Let's look at our, and when we talk about his, on who he is and what he did, just a quick review. We're talking about his birth, the fact that it was a virgin birth, his life, that he lived his life without sin, his death, which was the shedding of innocent blood and a sacrificial death, his resurrection that was miraculous, giving life to his body after it had been dead for 3 days in the grave, and his ascension into heaven and his being seated at the right hand of God the Father, and eventually his subsequent return to rule and reign forever. Hallelujah. All of that is the good news. When we talk about good news is comforting.
Amen.
Good news is reassuring.
Amen.
Good news is the recognition that even though we could not save ourselves, that man could still be saved through and by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Having said that, let's turn to our foundation text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And so we're going to hold tight there till we get the mystery of Mother's Bible settled here. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I preach to you, which you have received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I have preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance the principal matters, which is first importance is referring to, what I also received. Verse 3 again, that for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That is, again, the gospel summarized. We're beginning to unpack the gospel. And we've talked about that man is a sinner. Man is born a sinner. Man is under the wrath of God. So man is a sinner. Secondly, as a result of man, we also said man is born a sinner. These are like an A and B of it. And the reason I bring this out is the fact of here that he's born a sinner is to let you know that there's nothing he can do on his own to undo him being born a sinner.
Amen.
That's why I bring that out. He is a sinner and he's born a sinner. And therefore completely helpless to save himself. So the third thing is then, as a result, man is under the wrath of God. He's under the wrath of God. Or John puts it that the wrath of God abides on him, lives. So we got all man is sin, mankind is a sinner, man is born a sinner, and is under the wrath of God. And we've come to this, I don't think we started this yet. Well, we did start that as a result too, that man cannot. Yeah, thank you. Somebody got it. Save himself. He cannot save himself. We went over that, that anything he tries to do is as filthy rags. Remember that? If he's Isaiah 64, rather, and verse 6, we've all become like one who is unclean. All our key phrase, all our righteousness is as filthy rags or like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, our sin, like the wind, takes us away from God, that is. All our righteousness. We went over John chapter 12, that no one is born not of blood, meaning because of your heritage or your ancestry. We're not born of the will of flesh or anything that you did or accomplished, nor on the will of man, nor containing to what somebody else did, or pertaining rather to what somebody else did for you. We weren't born of ancestry, of our efforts, or the efforts of anyone else. We were simply born again by the power of God. Man cannot save himself. We talked about in Galatians that we're not justified or made righteous by the works of the law. He said, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of your works or what I've done, so that no one may boast. And lastly, let's turn over to Titus chapter 3 as we finish our review here. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us, comma, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Not on that. But according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. We're not involved in that at all. Thank you, Lord, that he saved us.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So, you got man is a sinner, or all have sinned. Man is born a sinner. As a result of this, these two, he's under the wrath of God, or the wrath of God abides on him. Meaning that eternal wrath is our just reward. Man cannot save himself. Only God can.
Amen.
So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go back there, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So verse 8 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith. So we start there. By grace. And well, I'm going to add the word alone. Okay, and then the Latin for that is sola. Gratia, G-R-A-T-I-A. And you don't have to worry about that, but if you run across what I'm quote unquote the five souls, that's what it's about. We're saved by grace alone. That's what we're going to cover first. It's going to be through faith alone in Christ alone. We're going to start there. But right now, as we unpack the gospel, we saw that man is a sinner. Man is born a sinner. Man is under the wrath of God. Man cannot save himself. So then how then are we saved? By grace alone. Right? You just read it. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's look at this. So let's begin, if you're taking notes, about with grace alone. We're saved through grace alone. Let's go to Acts, the 15th chapter, verse 11. We're saved through grace alone. Acts chapter 15, verse 11. But we believe, Acts chapter 15, verse 11, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. We are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to just go through scriptures just proving these points. Amen. What the word of God has to say about this. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3:21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned, all Jew, Greek, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. All ethnicities and cultures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By the way, the all have sinned and fallen short is the first one. Mankind is a sinner. All of mankind is. That's where that comes from. All of mankind is a sinner. All of mankind is born a sinner. All of mankind abides under the wrath of God. And all no one in within mankind can save himself. So the only way we get saved is by grace. Verse 24. Being justified, which is another word for a way of saying being declared righteous, being saved, being found guiltless before the throne of God, because we've been clothed in Jesus' righteousness. And he took our sin clothes and gave us his righteous clothes, if you will. So as a result, we're justified or declared righteous as a gift, what? By his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. How are we saved? By his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, you can see the other ones in there, but I'm just focusing on one at a time. Because you can already see and hear the through faith is already in there. And then the third one, in Christ. So by grace, through faith, in Christ, according to the scriptures, for the glory of God. Alone, 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 alone. Not plus. Just doing the Reformation. Luther, one of the Roman Catholic Church at that time, wanted to put plus on there. You say by grace alone, or by grace plus this. Through faith plus this. In Christ plus this, according to the scriptures plus, and for the glory of God plus. And the Reformation said, no, it's alone, only, 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 only. Sola, only, no plus. When you plus, you minus. And then you multiply your sorrows and divide your attention. Amen, only. We're going to come back to verse 22, but we can read it twice. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a through faith, sola fide, and then solus Christos through Christ or in Christ. There it is right there. Not you, not what you've done. You can't work your way. I was talking to Dory, be to God. I thank God for the opportunities that he's given me. It's just ridiculous in the last week or so, really. The dean of students, I believe the Lord is working on him, and also one of the teachers there, working on. The Lord is working on them. And the dean mentioned, as we do in our ignorance, we begin to recite our good deeds. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, man, I help people out, and he does. He's skilled at social interaction and helping students. Just skilled, well-spoken, you know, good athlete. I think, Mike, you might have heard Mark Medlock. He's the coach, quarterback at, he immediately shook and said, he's a legend. But you don't get in heaven because you're a legend. Amen. You don't get in heaven because you got a good degree, got a couple of master's degrees, very well spoken. So he began to recite his things. And you know what I've learned from the Lord is when a person is reciting things that are not in line with scripture, you don't have to jump on them immediately. Then you can just turn off some things. Just let them go ahead and just talk it on out. So I just was quiet while he recited his deeds and, man, you know this, and I'm a pretty good guy. I know I ain't perfect, and I do my thing, then this and that other, but and then the Lord gave an opening later, just later in the conversation, maybe about 5-10 minutes later. We were kept talking about things and how the Lord is working on him, and he's receiving that, and I was led to tell him, you know, how the Lord uses like music, you know, when I minister those. And by the way, Mike is one that started coming to Motown preacher, you know, from back in the day, because everything came through a song, you know. And so I was led to tell him, I said, man, you remember the end of the movie, Color Purple, that song, God is trying to tell you something right now? I said, man, that's a word for you, you know. And he received it. I said, God is trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something right now. That opened the door, we talked some more. Then came the opportunity to gently go in there and say, you know, man, we can't work our way to heaven. We can say we're good people, but we're only comparing ourselves to the next man. I said, who's to say that is good? That's your standard. I said, but God's standard is what he immediately received, or at least outwardly. He said, man, I see that. God's standard is different. You can't be good enough for heaven. It's an impossibility. I don't care how good you are down here. Remember when people praise you and slap you on your back and give you awards and trophies and things, that's according to man's standards.
Amen.
How many people are going to, bust hell wide open, as you used to say, who have buildings and streets and plaques and bronze statues erected in their name? Because God doesn't care anything about that. Man. And the little old lady that ain't nobody never really hardly knew existed is going to be just waking up heaven, and an angel is going to be bound down almost, sort of safe. You hear what I'm saying? God's standard is different from ours. That's what I got across to him. I said, it's different.
Yes.
We sin every day.
Amen.
Thank God for his grace.
Amen.
Thank God for his grace. Because I can't do it.
Amen.
You can't do it. We can't be good enough.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah for his grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Telling my son, I don't even put in-law on it, just telling my son yesterday, again, opportunities. Man, you can't help nobody be saved. You can't convince anybody of being saved. You all off into God's lane. You can't raise a spirit from the dead.
No.
Period.
Man.
And he saw it yesterday. He saw it. I'm so happy he saw that.
Yes.
God is, if you're saved here in this room today, God is the reason that we are saved.
Amen.
God is the reason.
Amen.
No other reason. That's why we cannot boast. All rights of boasting is completely taken away.
Amen.
It's by grace and by grace alone, not plus. Let's look at another. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Yep, we just went over it. How many know we can't hear it enough? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go back to verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 1. As I read this to my son yesterday, I quoted it rather. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead as the kids do today. Put the they make every single word with a two syllable. You were dead, Mr. Harris. Why are you calling me? You were dead, dead. When you were born, physically, when you were born alive physically, you were still born or born dead spiritually. That's the point I got to my son yesterday. Think about it now. Look at this verse. You were dead in trespasses and sin. We just went over the first thing that all man is a sinner. So since all man is a sinner, then man is still born spiritually dead. Why? Because we're all in our trespasses and sins. Dead man can't believe. A dead man can't confess with the mouth and believe in his heart. Dead man can't do anything. Dead man can't be convinced. Spiritually speaking, we don't want God. We're dead to the things of God. We're dead. We're completely separated and cut off from God. As a result of being born dead, keep a marker there and go over right quick to Romans chapter 3. Just we'll put a reminder there if you can put it together, if you hear it enough. Romans 3, look at verse 10. As a result of being dead, Romans 3 starting with verse 10. Because man is born dead, verse 10. There is none righteous. No, not even one. There is none who understands. When I quoted the verse to him, he went right to him again to read it. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. That's the state of a dead sinner. You're dead. You don't seek for God. That's why when we taught on a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half, whatever, on the commission, something explained or something. We taught on that. I forgot what it was. Because, yes, he says go into the world, but we just going. Just say go, just go. You don't, you're to still be led.
Yes, sir.
You still be led. And as a result, a lot of people are just went. And they weren't sent. And when you just went, you're in there in your power. When you're sent, you're there in God's power.
Amen.
Yes, he said to go, but go where? Where are you going to go? Well, he said to go, I'm just going. But where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going. Well, how about still being led, though? Because you're still going to need his power to bring forth any change in a particular person in anyway. You can't convince them. Remember we talked about it in soul winning, as they call it, two things you're not to do, which I was drilled to do for 40 years, and that is try to convince someone, and two, call for an immediate decision when you don't know what's going on in their heart. All we're to do is what? Anybody remember? Yeah, just inform. Just inform. Jesus died for your sins, man. He was buried, rose again according to the scriptures. Well, what do you mean by that? Then you can go and explain. Explain. But we're not trying to convince, because you can't convince. You're not the person. You're not that guy. I just cleared it up so well for me. It's by his grace. You'll bring opportunities. You'll be surprised. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And by the way, that Ephesians 2, 1, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, it confirms a doctrine of total depravity. You're dead in every area of your life. Dead meaning completely disconnected from God. Every single thought, every single motive, every single purpose, every single action, every single word is out of the will of God. I don't care if even if good things happen, that's just the grace of God blessing somebody else. But that doesn't save you. How many God know that God uses evil people to say good, to do good things for his purpose for other people?
Amen.
But that doesn't save you. See, that's the thing. Don't confuse that with salvation. It's another thing I told my son yesterday. I said there are two types of churches, really. There are transformational churches, and then there are conversional churches. We're more conversion here because of the fact we believe that you convert folks through the gospel.
That's right.
And if God does something to transform a community, great. But our aim is not to fix the world. Did you realize? Do you realize, Word of God, a Word of Life? We're not called to change the world. We're not called to do that. We're called to obey God. And as God moves on individuals here and there and there, if he does a transforming work within a household or within a community, great. But God is going to do that. Because the church he belongs to is a transformational church, which is a church that is all about transforming the world, trying to fix the world. And they judge the success of that church based on how much of an impact you've had in that community. You've completely taken it outside of Scripture. That's a dangerous place to be. Because you can feed folks and fix folks and folks love you and not nobody be saved.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand that? You can transform and fix things and nice and get folks into schools and juicy, all cute, but not really. It's conversion. We're here to give the gospel. And if God uses that, the giving of the gospel, which he's done to transform a household, praise God. But we're not called to fix the world. And it's not going to even be fixed. Why would he call us to do something that he told us in his word is going to get worse? He told us that. You're looking at me crazy. Look at Timothy chapter 3. let me just go on and show you, you know. You read it, but you're not connecting dots. We got to help you connect dots today. Look at Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy. Yeah, you're right. You're on it. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You know this big time. We've read it so many times. Read it. Let's read it again. But realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. Let me go to my Amplified and expand that. Difficult, hard to deal with, hard to bear. Times of great stress, dangerous times, troubled times. All that under that one word. Are we not in this age right now? God can't lie. That's one of the things that got Miss Meaning's attention when I told her. I said, you know, the word of God said it's going to get bad. And when she just says that, yeah, I pointed it to her. She saw that the word of God had already prophesied what 2,000 plus years ago was happening right now today to the letter.
Amen.
These last days will come. Perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with. Hard to bear. Verse 2. And here is the reason for it all. Verse 2. Well, we know sin is at the root, but here's a specific sin. For men, remember, mankind will be lovers of self. There's the root.
Amen.
Selfishness.
Amen.
Ooh, what a word.
Scary word, brother. That's one of the most disturbing words in the entire world.
Amen.
That's a horrible state to be in. It's a state of selfishness. And that's what billions on the planet are all about, self. Because that's what's at the root of sin, is selfishness. If you think about what Satan, yes, pride was ultimate sin, but selfishness was at the root of it. I'm going to raise myself up. I'm going to be like the Most High. I will. That was selfish.
Amen.
Giving way to pride. That's what we're living in days like this now. It's getting scarier to drive on the streets more and more. Folks just so self, pull all in front of you, knock you out of a space you're halfway into. And I mean, Monty Rose, I mean, she was basically three quarters to halfway into the space. The lady was pulling up, about to hit her car. Saw her coming and would not move. And my wife, you know, she is from Inkster with four brothers. But the Holy Ghost was able to kind of tap her down. Because if she would have let that female mind come on out, that woman would have had some trouble. But she went on ahead and pulled. I mean, it was just so rude. I mean, it really upset her, the rudeness, the blatant selfishness that's out here in the world. It's really just, you really got to be careful with her life. I mean, just from a practical wisdom standpoint, these are dangerous times out here. The Word of God says it. Hard to deal with, hard to bear. Times of great stress, Then the root for men will be lovers of themselves. Amplified, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Wow, that says it all. Lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Now, the Word of God has said this, right? Are y'all listening to the Word of God that says this, right? Can it be undone? Can God lie? And then what you going to try to fix the world for? You just obey God. God going to send you two people. Go over here and talk to this person. Go talk to that family. We so big, we all want to change the world. You can't even fix your own household. Why don't you start there? Amen. Got real pride up in there, really. Because that's harder. I'd rather go to Zimbabwe. And just go next door. I'm all right, sure. It's hard to go. It's easy to go to Zimbabwe, get a plane, get shot. You won't get all the malaria and all that. And go to Zimbabwe. And he tell you, go minister to your brother. Huh? Who? What? I can't go to him. He's crazy. We always trying to fix the world. You're not going to fix the world. And I'm not going to read through the whole list. You can see all of that. But skip down to verse 13. Reading from Amplified. But wicked men and imposters will go on from bad to worse. The wicked people are going to get worse, not better. You reading it? Deceiving and leading astray others and being deceived and led astray themselves. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You're not called to fix the world. You're called to obey God. You're called to bring him glory. This world is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse until Jesus returns and we're coming behind him in that army arrayed in white. What a day of rejoicing that will be. So get that out your mind. Obey God. So obey God. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. Because he knows who he is going to shed his grace on. We don't know. That's why you just got to obey God. We don't know. Who go to him? He crazy. I'm not going to him. He bound for hell. He going to hell anyway. I ain't going to go to him. We just pass judgment. That guy crazy. You know, and the worst part is when the family members, you have kind of just denounced them forever, you know. Because you know them. There's contempt. Familiarity that's bred contempt in your spirit. And you're disobeying God. He tells you, go to that person. Y'all ain't going to him. When I was 4 years old, he broke my toy. I don't like him no more. Obey God. You don't know who God is working on. I'm a living witness. My brother, my older brother, we got along like brothers. Cain and Abel. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Let me remind you, Cain killed Abel. We got along like brothers, all right. We fought, put a knife on him a couple of times. It is what it is. Because there's a testimony. I'll be my man to say, and we get along like brothers in Christ. It's wonderful. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But God did it. By grace alone, through faith alone. in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, for the glory of God alone. I just get to share in God's glory because God did it for his glory. I just get to be blessed as a side thing on that from the fallout, but it was for his glory. And I'm so very glad. That's my big brother. That's my man. I thank God for that. But it was not like that for years. But my assignment was to do was to live right before him, me and my wife and my children. Because as he interacted with us, we're to continue living right. That's all. Sometimes it's not saying anything to your family. It's just living right. Sometimes it's not saying anything. That's another thing sometimes. We talk too much. Sometimes we got a big mouth. A big mouth. A big, 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 big mouth. And it's just, because what's going to scream a lot louder than your words? Your actions. Actions are always screaming. They're screaming every day. So it's not us. We don't fix folks. We don't. It's not us. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, please. You see the impossibility. We were dead in our trespassing and sin. Go down to verse 5, please. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. Who made us alive? But God, who is rich in mercy, with great love, resurrected our dead spirits. Thank you, Jesus. Gave us life, spiritually speaking. Now we're able to believe. Now we're able to confess. Now we're able to seek God. Because we're no longer dead. We're dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. Here it is, parenthetical. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see an increase in solus Christus all over. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his what? Grace. In kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. He says it twice. And that not of yourselves. Come on, preach it. It's a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So that no one may boast. So that no one may boast. I gifted you because I, God, felt like gifting you. It's my mercy. It's my grace. And when I show it to you, don't you think you've earned it? Because you know what you've earned is eternal death. But I chose to give you grace and give you life rather than eternal death. And you're going to turn around and think you did something? Is right. That's why we went over. Notice the order. Man is a sinner. Man is born a sinner. The wrath of God abides from that sinner. And he's unable to save himself. That's why I went through that first. To show you the inability, the complete utter inability of man to do anything for himself to save himself or anyone else. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. We went over the sin, Genesis 3, the sin of mankind. We read in Genesis 6, verse 5, how every thought of the intentions of man's heart was only evil continually. That's all you get out of him. We just went over to Romans 3. No one seeks for God. No one is good. No one does good. All are turned aside. Everybody is crazy. How are you going to pull up out of there that you can just suddenly come out of all that and save yourself or have anything to do with your salvation? Are you serious? What Bible you read? We're dead, man. We were dead. Sinners are dead. Your nephews and And your brother and your what brother and sister, Mr. Calhoun, who you got on your prayer list? Her daughter. Daughter, brother, probably some other mother. There are others. They're dead. It's not about you convincing. You just keep praying. And one day you may get a phone call. You may just get a phone call.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm going to start waterworks up in here.
Hallelujah.
But I got a phone call. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. I say, don't give up. Don't you give up. Because we don't know what God is doing. And that's the mess that started this altar call and all these wanting to see and make decisions because people try to see what God is doing. You nosy. As an old folk, you say, keep your nose on your face. That's biblical because the word of God says don't be meddling in other folks' matters. Don't be busy about it. Other people matter. Same thing. Keep your nose on your face.
That's right.
You don't know what God doing. Even if you thought, oh, that's God. You don't know.
Right.
We so worried, Mill, about other people and we just missing out on things on ourselves. Just take care of your own raggedy self.
Amen.
Will you?
Amen. Amen to that, brother.
And just shut up. And do pay attention to you.
Amen.
I remember I tell the testimony about I'm praying about my wife. We newlyweds. I'm praying, Lord God, she ain't did this, and I would have wanted her to do this, and see this, and I don't know my son, my grandmother, son, and what's up, right? But in time, no time. And the Lord just broke in, Alfred Horton, just broke into my prayers and said, you need to let me take care of her.
Right.
And you take care of you. You take care of you, I'll take care of her. In other words, the main thing is you. Quit main thinging somebody else. Because what we do, we get to focusing on somebody else so tough that we don't even see ourselves. Sounding what Jesus said.
Amen.
Got the big telephone pole in your eye, and you got seeing a speck of salt in somebody else's eye. Take care of the telephone pole in your life. Get your Black & Decker out and chainsaw and start gnawing on that thing. And leave other folks alone. Make your life a lot simpler. And when I got out of God's way, symbolically speaking, my baby is the greatest of all time.
Amen.
She is the goat of wives.
Amen.
Hey! Woo! Watch yourself. Amen? She's the goat of wives. Flat out, hands down, period. End of discussion. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting myself back together here. Let's see, where are we? For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. How many times? That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. You can't save yourself, man. You can't do it. You never could, never will. It's by grace. Let's look at, I'm going to add one to this right quick. Look at Romans chapter 9. How much time we got? Oh, 5 minutes. Wow. Romans chapter 9. look at verse. I didn't even come back this far, but that's what I'm out there. Look at verse 10. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only this, but there was Rebekah also when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, verse 11. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. Look at all of that. All God, all God. It was said to her, the elder will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. When you hear that, people, especially Arminians, who believe that you did got something to do with being saved, they read that and they get really upset about that. How can God just love Jacob and not love Esau? That's bold. That's unfair. That's not fair. I mean, they ain't did nothing. We look at, he said they weren't born yet. Verse 11, had done nothing good or bad. So that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand. Not because of works, says it again, but because of him who calls, he would say, I'm going to do this. And now you see that white space between verse 13 and verse 14? In that white space, that's where somebody, an imaginary objector said, that's not fair. You hear the echo. That's bold. God ain't right from doing that, man. You just can't pick out nobody like that. What's wrong with you? That's not fair. Verse 14. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? You're saying that ain't fair. May it never be. For he says to Moses, gangster Godfather statement, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It's on me. How you gonna tell me what to do with my mercy and my compassion? Well, man, okay, all right, yeah, all right. But what about, you know, hey, he ought to give grace to everybody. But if he owes grace, then it's no longer grace. Because grace is unearned, undeserved. I feel you. Yeah, okay, but what do God owe us? Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Oh man, that's kind of rough. Well, whatever it is, it's the truth. The proper payment for your sin is not salvation. The proper payment is death. And he would be just in sending you to eternal damnation because you have sinned. I see, said the blind man. So he's not unjust in any way. He gave Esau justice. Jacob got grace. Nobody was treated unjustly, unfairly. So verse 14, is there any injustice with God? No. Meigeneto in the Greek, may it never be. No, God forbid, some translations say. Not unjust. That's mercy when I save you. That's compassion when I save you. That's why he follows up with, I will have compassion. I will have mercy. It's me. Then he says it again at the end of verse 15. 15 says, I will have mercy and I will compassion. Verse 16, so then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Not what they do, not their efforts. That's why it's so dangerous to have an altar call. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. No one moving, walking, or talking unless they've been assigned. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. And that Bishop Butler, Sister Melinda. Then the call goes like, nah, man, there's no real juicy call. While every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer, how many want to miss out on hell and make heaven your home? Who wouldn't raise their hand? Who wouldn't? Am I right, Mike? You just had a life of sin. Last night you were 20 girls and smoking this and drinking that. You know, you're just doing your thing. You halfway got yourself halfway coherent to get to church, and the preacher gives that on the call. You like, hey, yo, rock, bro. Train, I do.
But if you raise your hand, come to the front.
We'll pray for you. When we pray for you, say these words, you'll be saved right where you are. You'll be saved right where you are. We've heard that for many, many, many years. And you come up, and there be, you know, the church that be, you may have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Mm-hmm. Come to the front. Repeat this prayer after me. Romans 10:9. I'm going to blank on it now. That thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be. With the mouth man believe on the right, and with the mouth confess man unto salvation. If you pray this prayer, you meant it in your heart, then you're saved right here. Welcome to the family. That is so disturbing. Amen. You don't know if anybody up in there has been raised from the dead according to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 5. You do not know that. To declare and announce someone as being saved, how can you tell that? Romans 8, 14 or 16 says that the Holy Spirit witnesses and testifies to our spirit that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit got to even tell us that we're saved, because we don't really know for sure. He's got to tell us that we're saved, let alone you telling somebody else. You being human, telling other human beings that they've been saved. Just because they really meant it in their heart. And people who go up there really mean it in their heart. But they're just saying words if they haven't been born, if they're not been risen from the dead spiritually. Do you understand that word of life? You don't get that. You don't know God is having mercy and compassion. You're not that great to know what God is doing. You're not, that's not you. And it's not on what they did or what you did. So not on verse 18 again, verse 16, 16, so then not verse 16. So then it does not depend on man who wills or man who runs. In other words, the efforts of man, but on God who has mercy. But the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I raise you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. And then we can get, that's a whole nother thing getting into. It's his mercy. It's my grace. I do what I want with it. And I don't have to give it to everybody. I don't owe grace and mercy to everybody. I don't owe compassion to everybody. Because everybody has sinned. What I owe them is death. For the wages of sin is death. Or in the Old Testament, the soul that sinned shall die. When I decide to grace someone and let their sin be dealt with, in other words, the penalty for their sin, if I choose to let my Lord, my son deal with it instead of you, that's on me. Nothing you did. If I choose, remember, every sin must be punished.
Amen.
Every sin must be dealt with. He can choose to let you deal with it, eternal hell, eternal damnation, or let Jesus deal with it on your behalf. That's salvation. That's being redeemed. That's being delivered. Amen. And I think millions of Christians don't understand what salvation really is. Father God, your body's messed up, and I know you know that. I ain't telling you nothing new. You saw it before the foundation of the world. You got all kind of jacked up preaching and teaching and theology going forth. Some borders on heresy, and some is straight up heresy. I thank God, Father, that you're God and I'm not. Because this is a tangled mess that's down here. You got millions believing they're saved, and they're going straight to hell, and they are convinced they're saved. That sounds like, Father God, your word in Matthew chapter 7. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, few find it. But broad is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat.
I thank you that you put us here at Word of Life on the straight and narrow. We endeavor to do things your way, O God, our Lord and Savior. Our Father and our God who is in heaven, help us to continue to listen to your word, listen to your will, listen to your Holy Spirit, and be led by him and him alone, and not by feelings, flesh, emotions, advantage, social advantage. And we are even praying to be led by your Spirit. Even that is for your glory. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.